I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Two in the books, one to go, 1 hour left of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FYF Friday. Ed Blake's our comedian of the week. If you missed anything, got a clip coming up at 3:15. Other than that, get on the website, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab, catch what you missed. Barry's already talked about Ed, one of his mentors, and the backstory there, so you want to catch up on all that. Fellas?
Yes, that would be us.
We're a tight-knit bunch. We're a good show. Yeah. We interact a lot.
I like the confidence.
Yeah, and we get along a lot. Right?
Oh, is that what you mean?
But at the same time, we've been very clear, okay, whether we're on the road or here, we have bathroom etiquette, right? Right? Yeah. We've talked about it with the listeners.
Plenty of times.
Don't talk, flush, wash your hands, all these different things. So I walk in. And if you don't know, over on our sister, the SB Nation side of things, our sister network, SB Nation, they have a new show called The Main Event. You might be able to hear them through the door right now. Jake Asman, Cody Stutes, and Jose Partida is their producer.
Yep. Okay,
they're trying to be a tight-knit bunch, too. But they're tighter than us, because I walked in the bathroom.
I was leaving when they walked in.
Full-blown conversation between Jake at the urinal, Jose in stall number one, and Cody in stall number two.
Fact.
And it is just going like, they're just, oh, no, you should have seen this last night, blah, blah. So they didn't hear me walk in. So I walked in, and I got in a position where all could hear me very clearly, but especially Jake Asman at the urinal. And I went, hey, fellas! Jake Asman was about 3 inches off the ground and said, oh, God, I think I just peed all over myself.
Nice.
And Cody comes out and says, you're a mean Joel Blank. That was very mean of you. And I was like, you guys are talking while you're in the bathroom.
We talk?
What are you doing? No, you guys, you no, no. Nick even said it freaked him out the one time that I knew he was in
there. Initiated the conversation.
Yeah. So we don't talk. But here's what makes it worse. AJ's always worried about our bathroom etiquette. So I just got to take a pee real quick. So I go to use the stall that Cody was in. I guess Jake at least squirted himself. Cody made sure, like a runaway lawn sprinkler, he just hosed down the entire stall. And I go, Cody, you're not going to pick the seat up or clean up? And he's like, well, then don't take a dump. And he walked out.
Wow. No, he didn't wash his hands?
No.
Oh,
I'm done with Cody.
He's on the list. He's on the list.
I'm done with that guy. I'm done with
those two. What is with these SB Nation types? Spending a lot of time in the bathroom. Keeping an eye on things. They need to wash their hands.
Really,
they
everybody need to keep... should be... Fist pump should be the new handshake anyway. Right, Barry? I think you would endorse that.
I don't shake hands. Everyone gets fist bump.
You hug.
I mean, President of the United States, fist bump.
Yeah. The Queen of England, she's getting... Let's bump nucks. That's what's happening.
You bow, though.
I'll bow and bump. I don't care. Curtsy. I'm not. Trust me, when people see me out and about and they're like, oh, hey, what's up, Barry? Big fan. You know how I know that
people are a fan of the show
and listen to the show? Is the ones that stick their hand out to shake hands with me versus the ones that immediately will put their fist out to fist bump. That's how I know
He's
they've
right.
been listening for a while.
Does it all the time. Because
I ask. I never shake hands.
Yep, he's right. And the
they're like,
thing
oh,
is,
yeah, I forgot. And then they'll fist bump me. But
the
yeah.
real suspects already will say something like, I already know.
Yeah.
And then give him the fist.
Yep.
Does Mr. Gal give you the fist bump, too? Or?
I fist bump Mr. Gal. Yeah. Definitely. I
do it for another reason, because he puts his hands on a Cowboys mug, and that's enough for me that I can't get near it after that. So.
See.
All right. So that was my little... story about what happened during the break.
So you guys were in there playing with each other in the bathroom.
No, there was no playing with each other. They were way too
playing swords.
Conversational
phrasing,
in there.
Phrasing. Words matter, right?
Yeah. But and then on the way out after all that happened, and I'm yelling at Cody for his lack of cleanliness in the stall, and then Jake goes, hey, what about that football game last night? I'm like, Jake, we don't talk in the bathroom. He's like, well, I had to say something so I could start to actually get my nerves right where I could pee.
What?
He got all worried. I don't understand this stage fright pee thing. But
yeah, I don't understand
whatever.
That. That's
all right.
That's
so there's your
weird.
Tidbit. If you want to catch them, they are called the Main Event. They're on SB Nation Radio.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Go listen when we're not on the air. When do they start? What time?
I think an hour. I think right now. Like
they go three to seven, I think.
Oh, yeah. You can go listen at four.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah.
Don't go until then.
I've heard their stories are great.
See.
Okay. We got some college football this weekend, too.
Yeah, we do.
You're excited about your Aggs?
I'm very excited about my Aggs getting beat.
How bad?
I think they'll cover, but I think they'll lose.
Okay.
I bet you'll cry.
No.
Ooh. Yeah.
Percent 100, I do not cry. I'm excited there's games tonight. There's just not a ton worth watching, but yeah, you got a little college football. That's the beautiful thing about football is once the season starts is you get games Thursday through Monday.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not November, you can have baseball in between that as well. So your Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you have some baseball, then basketball season starts. So I love that we're through the boring doldrum days of the summer where outside of, an Astros off day in July is just dreadful.
The All-Star break is worse.
Yeah.
That's when you mark it down in your book, your calendar, or however you get your updates to make sure you change your air conditioning filters and all that other, the batteries.
Yeah.
All-Star break week, Charlie Pulillo off. That's an experienced veteran move.
No doubt.
Charlie, of the 83 weeks he gets off during the year for vacation, guaranteed that it's going to be All-Star break of baseball.
If I asked you, you're right. If I asked you, which game do you think will be better? Is it going to be the LSU-Texas game or the Clemson A&M game?
I hope.
What do you think would be a more entertaining football game?
I mean, gut reaction is it's going to be the Texas-LSU game. I think it's going to be a close game.
Okay.
But I want it to be A&M-LSU, and I really want A&M to Clemson, and I want A&M to beat Clemson because Clemson really doesn't play that many tough teams this year, and I think Jimbo's doing it right now and getting the Aggs right, but I just don't know if they're ready yet for a team like Clemson.
Yeah, LSU's a 6.5-point favorite. The over-under's 56.5. Clemson is a 17-point favorite.
And you think that A&M's going to cover that?
Over-under is 63.5.
And that's at Clemson,
yeah,
right?
I don't think A&M loses by 17.
Okay.
I
hope not.
16?
All right.
Maybe.
Who you got in the LSU-Texas game?
LSU.
Do they cover?
That's a little tougher.
See, because the interesting thing to me is as much hype as Texas has got, we know what they got, and we know what Ellinger brings, and we know all those things. Everybody that's an LSU fan was just excited, and I don't blame them. The fact that their new offense looks like something different than LSU's ever seen. But again, it's who you're playing, too, in terms of how effective they were. I want to see how they do against a Texas defense.
And I'll take an SEC defense over a Big 12 defense when you're talking about offenses that might be similar, because I do think LSU will be able to hang with Texas scoring-wise offensively. But I think that they have the better defense. They're bigger up front. So, yeah, I the 6.5, that's a little tough.
If you're basing it on what LSU offensively has been in the past.
Yeah,
it's in Austin, right?
But I think, I don't know, I could see LSU winning by a touchdown, so I think I would give the 6.5.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I think it's a 7-point game. I think LSU wins by 7. And I think that, unfortunately, and I hope I'm wrong, but I think Clemson wins by more than 17.
What was the score last year when the Aggs played Clemson?
That was a good game. That was a really good game.
Now, it was at home
right
for A&M, so it was a home game, and obviously not this time around, but That was a good close game, and I don't think the Aggies are ready. I was talking to Todd about this, and I said I'm ready for one of two things to happen as a lifelong Aggie fan. Mm-hmm. One of two things is going to happen. They're going to get a lead, and then they're going to choke it away at the end.
You think?
Yeah, and lose on the last drive, or they're just going to get blown out. One of those two things is going to happen.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you feel comfortable that Mond can make the throws and throw the football when he has to throw?
After what I saw against Texas State, yes, but that was Texas State and that defense.
Right.
But I do think Kellen Mond has made significant strides in the passing game.
Okay.
And just because of the reads he had and his accuracy. Because whether guys are open or not, you still have to put the ball in there.
Sure.
And when he first came to the Aggies, I wasn't sold on Kellen Mond as a legitimate starting quarterback in college football. But I think he's earned that. And I think he's looked a lot better.
The sheer speed of the defense is going to make a difference. That's why, for me, the jury's still out. Like I said, I want A&M to not only cover, I want it to be a great game. But I worry about the fact that the difference between Texas State and a Clemson defense that with a secondary that's got speed that can fly all over the place, that concerns me.
Yeah, up front, I think Clemson is just so much better than A&M on both sides of the ball. And that's where these games are really won and lost. So that's the concerning part for me. But like I said, I could see the Aggies doing one of two things. Maybe getting an early lead, and then it's slowly dwindling, and then they lose in typical Aggie fashion at the end with some bonehead play, or it's just a blowout from the start. They kick off, it's returned for a touchdown, and they never recover and lose by 30.
The home field advantage and hostile environment is going to be interesting to see how they handle that. But if Jimbo prepares them right, and I believe that Jimbo, like I said, he knows what he's doing.
That's the funny thing is I was talking to Todd, who is an Aggie, and being an Aggie fan my whole life, we were talking about it, and I was like, I'm just so conditioned to be disappointed. And I said, are you the same way? And he goes, I used to be, but he said, I believe in Jimbo Fisher. And I think that's a lot of Aggie fans.
Yeah.
They want to believe in Jimbo Fisher. They want to believe that he's been there, done that in other programs. We'll see. I mean, this is going to be a good test. Yeah. If this is a close ball game and they lose by, 10, 12 points, something like that, but they were always in it, then maybe the Aggies have turned a corner with this coach. But until then, I'm not sold on it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it regardless. It should be good to have a full Saturday of college football, a full Sunday of NFL football. That should be a good thing all in itself, even if you don't believe that football started or that you care. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. Final hour of the show. It's the usual suspects with much more. And don't forget, 3:30 Sarah Barshop, ESPN's beat writer for the Texans. And at some point between now and the end of the show, we're going to give away a $100 dinner gift certificate for the Houstonian for you to swoop up if you're a suspect. So stay tuned for that as well. It is the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. BetOnline.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Thanks, eHarmony. And I'm not against matchmakers or anything. I love it. I think it's great. Any way you get to find that person, great. But you gotta admit, the way they do it is kind of messed up. Like the eHarmony people, they bring the couple out, so they're gonna dance and sing and tell you how awesome it is that they found love. Those people are jacked up. But you ever notice when they bring the couples out, first of all, they show them way far away. And then when they move in closer, you realize one of them, let's just be nice, has a flaw. You know exactly what I'm talking about. They start the ladies out there crying, I'm so happy, eHarmony, because I found him, and it's been beautiful. Then they move in a little closer, and then she's like soulmates, and it was just, and then they moved in closer, and then I stopped listening. Because all I could notice was one of her eyes was like, whoa. I mean, it wasn't lazy, but it wasn't working 40 hours either, you know what I'm saying? It was like a part-time eye that comes in and does some filing on a Wednesday kind of thing. Holy shit.
Comedian of the Week, Ed Blake. If you missed any of the backstory, there's a good one, so check it out on the podcast. But funny dude.
Love that joke. He's got another joke that he does. Google it. He talks about a guy he's like studying to be a certified flagman. He's like, there's a certification to be a flagman, the guy that kind of waves you through when there's construction.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how, like, could you imagine there's some dude actually at home the night before the exam, like, leave me alone, woman. Don't you know I'm studying for my certified flagmanship? He's like, I got a lot of pressure on me right now. And he's in there practicing, waving. He's like, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's a great bit. I missed that dude.
So there you go. Also a mentor of yours. So that's why another reason why we featured him on the show. So catch it if you missed it in the podcast. Yesterday, since we're going to get to Sarah at 3:30 anyway, we might as well stick on the football trail. Yesterday, you were talking about just prognostications and how we see the whole NFL season going. I know it's much clearer after last night, but yeah, hopefully the football gets better, because otherwise I'm going to look bad for saying that from week one. NFL, love it, great, fantastic, good football. Maybe everything but the good football.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was discouraging last night. But
it was pretty bad.
We'll see, but again, Lance was the guy that said, maybe this is what kicks the NFL in the ass and says, you get two preseason games, regardless if you add any more to the regular season or not, we're not even talking about that. Just instead of four, you get two, but then the teams will take them more seriously for this very reason, to get the rust off and get the one some run.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. All right, so way back Wednesday, we actually did the theme so that each one of us had to say who we thought would win each of the divisions.
Yep.
Based on the artists that we picked for way back Wednesday. But some of you guys didn't put it all together. We talked about it a little bit. But you wanted to get a little bit deeper into all of the predictions.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to figure out, like, who's your wild cards in each of the divisions? Who do you have kind of advancing and representing the AFC and the NFC? And then, what does your AFC championship game look like? What does your NFC championship game look like? And what does your Super Bowl look like? Because we were talking a little bit about it, and we were saying, you know, if you had to pick one right now, but then, you know, me, I like to do my research and crunch numbers and do all those things. So I was just curious, like, we talked about division winners and who you had. And so who were your division winners again?
So I got New England. We'll just go AFC first, but I have New England, Cleveland. I have the Colts.
Yep.
And I have the Chiefs.
Okay.
All right.
And who's your wild cards?
Wild cards to me are the Chargers.
Yep.
And the Steelers.
Okay. So who do you have in the AFC championship game?
I think it's Chiefs Patriots, and I think the Chiefs are going.
Chiefs Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl?
Yep.
All right.
You?
So my wild cards were the Chargers and the Ravens. I had Steelers, Texans, Patriots, and Chiefs as division winners. Mm-hmm. And then my AFC championship game was Chargers, Chiefs.
Okay. And who you got representing?
And I have the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Got Chargers, huh?
Huh?
Got Chargers.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And so on the NFC.
You know why?
Side-
because when I started, it seems kind of weird, but this is why I did it this way, is I was like, all right, well, let's look at the first round matchups, the wild card game. So I have the Texans playing the Chargers. Who you got? I have the Chargers as my first wild card, Ravens as my second. So if that were the case, and I think Houston's going to have the fourth best record of the division winners, then who do you they're going to play the highest seeded wild card? I don't think the Texans beat the Chargers in the wild card round.
I'm with you.
So then I had the Ravens and Steelers playing, and I had the Steelers advancing. So then the Chargers move on. I think the Patriots are ripe. I think this is a team that could be beat. I had them facing the Patriots, and I think the Chargers beat the Patriots. That's probably where I'm wrong. But then the Steelers-Chiefs, and I have the Chiefs winning that game. Because I'm not picking the Steelers again. But damn,
you know,
that.
No, and you know the only factor that I'd say in the Chargers-Patriots thing? Home field advantage.
Yeah.
Chargers don't play well in cold weather.
True.
But other than that, look, I think
it's
you're
now
right.
or never for Phillip Rivers.
I agree. But it's again, that never. Melvin Gordon situation doesn't make me want to jump on that bandwagon.
No, it'll be fine. Defensively, they're solid. And I think that, I don't know, this is just how it shaped up for me. Because again, I don't even have them winning the division, but it's not been out of the realm of possibilities of wild cards have advanced that far. But I think that they still lose to the Chiefs at that point.
Nick, so, who you got AFC? Oh, Nick's got people in here. Raheel is interrupting again, so Nick can't do his picks.
So NFC, who do you have as your division winners again?
NFC, I've got the Eagles, Packers, Saints, and the Rams.
Okay.
All right. Wild card, I have the Cowboys.
Yep.
And I have the Bears.
Okay. Oh. What made you do that?
What do you mean?
I mean, you hate the Bears.
It doesn't make a difference. I have to acknowledge that they still have a lot of talent. Their defense is unbelievable.
Okay.
To me, it came down between the Vikings, Bears, and Cowboys for the wild cards.
Okay.
And I think that the Vikings, you have to worry about Kirk Cousins. The Bears, you have to worry about Trubisky. But at the same time, so that's why I put
Dallas.
Who
do you think will have a better year, Trubisky or Cousins?
Cousins.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got two better receivers, too.
Definitely.
Thielen and Diggs.
Yeah. So. All right. So who did you have in the NFC Championship game?
NFC Championship game, I have the Saints.
Yep.
And I have the Eagles.
Okay.
And I have the Saints going to the Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So you have Saints, Chiefs, and I have Rams, Chiefs.
I just think the Saints got a red ass for the last 2 years, and I think that...
Boy, they were close, weren't they?
And with Drew Brees being 40, time's running out.
Yeah.
I think this is their year to really go for it.
And now we know that he hates the LGBTQ community.
I heard about that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting, and I want to roast this dude on Twitter because it really pissed me off when I saw this. But if you don't know the story with Drew Brees... this dude deleted his tweet. What a
really?
Chicken bleep.
Well, tell the peeps.
So, this guy, so Drew Brees was partnered up with a religious organization that was promoting Bring Your Bible to School Day for kids. So, he was saying that basically, you know, I wanted to encourage kids to take their Bible to school and be proud of their faith. Well, now people come out and say, well, that organization that he partners with is anti-LGBTQ. Like, they hate gays. And now they just – so they immediately said, oh, Drew Brees hates gays because he's partnered with this. And Brees had to create a video. And he basically came out and said, this is not true. I live by two principles. One, live for the Lord. And two, love everybody. And I love everybody, regardless of your race, your political affiliation, your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter. I'm a Christian, and I believe in love and acceptance. And so I hope this sets the record straight. All I was trying to do was tell kids that it's okay to take your Bible to school and read it and love Jesus. That's it. And I respect that. Well, then this some idiot on Twitter comes out and starts lambasting Drew Brees and saying, no, this is he's anti-gay. He hates gays. And they said he's un-American because these kids go to school with their Bibles and push religion on people. And if you don't see that that's wrong, then get out of America. I was like, you stupid ass. That's totally American. Every kid has the right to take their Bible to school and read it if they want to, or their Quran, or their Pali Canon, whatever the Buddhist book is. Everybody has the right to do that. There's a difference between pushing religion and practicing religion. And if you don't understand that, you're the dumbass that needs to get out of America. I'm not even a religious person. I don't read the Bible. I'm basically agnostic if I was anything, all right? But that doesn't mean that I don't want a kid that is religious that wants to take his Bible to school and read it at breaks. He absolutely should be allowed to do that. And it was an asinine statement. I put it on Twitter. Since then, he's deleted the tweets and the thread.
Well, good for you to at least try to
put
him
to bed. Well, I'm not saying that I did it, but I'm just saying I think a lot of people started roasting this dude.
He should.
How anti-American is that to tell a kid he can't read to take his Bible to school and read it?
That's
asinine.
You know what's not asinine, Barry?
What's not asinine,
any
Joel?
Any opportunity
great
to save money.
That's not...
Anytime you can save money, it's a great deal. It's not asinine.
That was so contrived. Hey, guys, if you...
I'm trying, man.
If you have a download to Get Upside, do yourself a favor right now. Go do it. And I'm proud to say we have a new Get Upside recruit. Somebody just tweeted me. I think it was Jason Abary. He was like, is it promo code Barry? Yes, Mr. Abary. It is promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, when you go and download the Get Upside app. Make sure you put that in there. And guys, first of all, make sure you download the app. It's completely free to install. No gimmicks, no catch. I did it while I was getting ready to pump gas. Put it on my phone and got my first fill up cash back right away. And if you do that promo code Barry, you'll get a little bump. So you can already get up to 25 cents a gallon. With that promo code, you could get even more. My wife ended up getting 30 cents a gallon on her first fill up. I think Jake got $7 back. I had another listener tell me they got $7 on their first fill up. Guys, there's money out there to be had. There really is. Look, I'm looking at a text from the 409 area code where somebody has $74.75 in their Get Upside account. Do you have $74 laying around? If you don't, you need to get Upside right now. Put it on your phone. And it's not just gas. It's also food. You can get up to 35% cash back every time you use it, as much as you want to use it. It's totally up to you. There's hundreds of restaurants around the city. Go Saturday morning, get some donuts from Dunkin' Donuts. Bring home one of those Popeye's chicken sandwiches that everybody's craving for. La Madeline is in there. Candelaria's Pizza. Tons of restaurants where you can get up to 35% cash back. Guys, it's legit. It works. This is why so many listeners are sending me screenshots of their account. Now it's your turn. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later. And do not go anywhere. We're back in 60 seconds. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yep. Hey, 30 minutes to go on the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel on an FEI Friday. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride. Wherever you may be in the big city, getting ready for your weekend, finishing up the work week, having some fun, we take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7, and you don't have to do anything but keep it right here. And because we love the suspects and the way that you guys always support us, we support you, give you chances to win some pretty neat stuff. And yeah, at this point in time, we've got one of those opportunities. This is one of the best gifts we'll give away. This is $100 at the Houstonian for you and a guest to catch a great dinner at Tribute, which is one of their fantastic restaurants. So $100 at Tribute. I mean, you want a night out on us, and you can get all the credit. You know what I mean? That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So let's go. Caller, you pick it, Barry.
Caller number 12.
Caller number 12, 713-780-3776. You get this amazing dinner for two at Tribute at the grounds of the Houstonian right here in the Galleria area. Caller 12-713-780-3776. With that being said, good luck on the gift shiviet. But in the meantime, we've got some football to talk about because we've got 2 weeks worth of action to catch up on. Sarah Barshop's here. Sarah Barshop, who always joins us. She is the ESPN beat writer on your Houston Texans. Sarah, we appreciate you joining the show. Lots to catch up on. Barry was the one that was quick to remind me. We haven't got your thoughts post-Clowney trade and all of the wheelings and dealings of this team over the last week or so. So let's start there.
Yeah, what a crazy Saturday. The Clowney news happened in the morning, and I feel like my view and the view kind of from everyone is that they really didn't get much for him. And I think that's still true now. I also think that maybe the Texans don't value draft picks as much as maybe other teams do because they see that they got guys that they feel are proven players and can help them win a lot more immediately than a draft pick can. So they feel like if Clowney wasn't going to be part of the team, at least they got something for him. And then, of course, there were the two other trades. They traded for Carlos Hyde and got someone to help out Duke Johnson. And the big one, of course, was Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills for whole lot of draft capital. And as we talked to Bill O'Brien this week, get the sense that he just felt they had to do that, you know? And if Clowney wasn't going to agree to a trade to the Dolphins, they had no choice but to get someone to help protect Deshaun. And yes, they gave up a lot of picks, but they also feel like they got someone who can help them win now. And not that they feel like they have a small window to win, but of course, J.J. Watt is 30 now, which is not old by any stretch of the imagination, but he's who knows how many years he's going to play, you know, for them especially. DeAndre Hopkins is in his prime. They've got Deshaun Watson on a rookie deal. So sounded like Bill O'Brien and his group that he says that he makes decisions with decided they just need a guy who can help right now, and that's why they got Laremy Tunsil.
That was actually, Sarah, what I was going to ask you. You know, we talked. The Duke Johnson trade was all Bill O'Brien on the phone making that deal happen. Was this a group effort, or was this O'Brien leading the charge and everybody else just going, "Yeah, yes, sir, whatever you want. I just want to keep my job."
I think there's more input. I do think he values the opinion of the people he chooses to have in that group. So Chris Olsen, people from the scouting staff, Cal McNair, Jack Easterby. Like, I don't think he's just saying, like, "I don't care what you guys think. This is what I'm going to do." But I do think he's been the one who's been involved in these. He's been pushing them forward. He's been helping make them happen. So I think he does respect the opinion of the people he's chosen to put around him. But I do think that if he was going to decide that they needed something. I don't know that too many people in that group would probably be saying, no, don't go do that.
What's your perception on the kind of the national dialogue that, one, like you touched on, this is Bill O'Brien's franchise. Like, this is, aside from Cal McNair, Bill O'Brien's making every decision. He is running it from top to bottom. And that people are saying, basically, what has he done to earn that? And that also, that because of the moves and all of the moves that we saw in succession on that Saturday, that it was almost a panic button pushed, that he's starting to feel the heat and it's time that they have to win now.
Well, I don't know if it's a panic as much as that. I think he told us about this, right? When Cal McNair fired Brian Gain, Bill stood up there at the podium and said, I'm not going to tell you what we talked about, but Cal told me there are certain goals I need to hit and there are things I need to do that he wants to see from me. So I don't know specifically what those were, but I'm going to guess it had to do with winning football games and protecting Deshaun Watson and making sure the Texans take a straight step forward. Maybe it's winning a playoff game, whatever that was. I don't know if it's panic, but I think Bill O'Brien sees those goals and thought, what do I have to do to make those happen? And I think one of them is really getting a left tackle.
Sarah Barshaw with ESPN.com joins us. Sarah, we know what the left side of the line looks like. Laremy Tunsil, Titus Howard is your left tackle, left guard. Nick Martin is your center. I'm a little less locked in on what that right side is, specifically a right guard. Is it Fulton or is it Sharping? And what about right tackle?
So right tackle will be Henderson.
Yep.
And I think guard, I don't know. Bill O'Brien said today that he has five. He thinks he has, they have the five in mind, but obviously he wasn't going to say at the podium. I thought Max Sharping was really good, especially for a rookie during training camp. But let's remember that Bill O'Brien really doesn't love playing rookies. I mean, there are certainly rookies who played a lot of time, like last year, Justin Reed, and obviously Titus Howard is going to start at left guard. But I think he would prefer to have the veteran. Now, I thought Max Sharping looked good, so I'm not sure who we'll see out there. But I also think that Bill O'Brien showed last year he would not hesitate to make a change. So if whoever he starts, whether it's Fulton or Sharping, it wouldn't surprise me if it's not going the way he thinks it should be going. Maybe after a couple games that he would make the switch then.
Do you have an update on Fulton? I know he's had a toe issue. He was limited at practice. But do you have an update? Because that might also be determining who we see, at least in this first game.
He was a full participant in practice today.
Okay.
So which tells me that he's on the right track and he should be good. If that's who they want to start at guard, at right guard, then he should be good to go.
All right, here's another question for you, and it all comes back to that trade day again, but Kenny Stills. Kenny Stills is a guy that a lot of people thought, well, the Texans will never take any opportunity that he might be out there simply because that he kneels. But the fact of the matter is, I'm more interested, I think that's something that I would love to get your perspective on, but I'm more interested, too, in the fact that, look, we know that they have a talented receiving core, but we know that two-thirds of that core can't stay healthy. Is Kenny Stills just an insurance policy, or is he going to see the field on a pretty consistent basis?
I mean, I think if Cutie doesn't play in week one, I think I saw the stat, Stills played a third of his snaps in the slot last season, so he certainly has experience there. I think, actually, it was a really underrated part of this move. I mean, obviously, Laremy Tunsil was the big get, and you had to protect Deshaun. But when you look at what that wide receiver group looked like at the end of last season, obviously injuries to Fuller, they traded for Demaryius Thomas, he got hurt. Cutie came back at the end of the season, but he only played six games last year. And then when DeAndre Hopkins got hurt in that playoff game, and he played, but he obviously was very injured, they had no depth there. I mean, it was basically at the end of the season, DeAndre Hopkins and Vincent Smith. Vincent Smith didn't even make the roster this year because they had more depth. Now he's on the practice squad and they like what he can do. And if there are more injuries, they at least have depth there. But I think one thing Bill O'Brien really liked, and he said, is that still, knock on wood, he does not get injured. He's been healthy. And that's what they value because of the way that Fuller's and Cutie's seasons have gone recently.
Well, and speaking of that, Cutie was limited again, I think, today in practice. What are the chances of him playing on Monday?
When we talked to Bill O'Brien, I think it was last Tuesday, he said, I asked him if he was hopeful that he would play in the game. He said, oh no, I'm not hopeful. He said, I reserve the right to change my mind, but it didn't sound like it. Now, since then, he said he's on the right track. He said it will be a game-time decision, but especially if you have skills and you feel like that he has a good grasp of the offense, it wouldn't surprise me if they said to Cutie, like, give your ankle some more time. We'll try this. he probably isn't too far off, so maybe he could be back next week or the week after. But now that they do have some depth, I think there's less of a need to rush him back if that is the case.
All right, so we got a lot of the basics in the background there, but I need you to know how it's going to go down Monday night because we won't have you till next week. So break it down from us, from the Big Easy. What goes down with the Texans, the Saints, and the final score?
I think if the Texans are going to win this game, it's going to be a shootout. I mean, I just think not just losing Clowney, but I think the defense is just not as good. I don't know how good the secondary is going to be. Yeah, they kind of replaced some of the pieces they lost in losing Kareem Jackson and Tyrann Mathieu. They added some guys, but until we see this secondary tested, especially by Drew Brees, I don't know quite what that's going to look like, but I think the score I predicted was like 35-20 Saints. So I'm thinking Drew Brees has a big game, but we shall see on Monday night.
Joel and I were debating records for this team, and we both agreed 6-10 based on how difficult the schedule is very likely. I have their ceiling at 9-7. What are your thoughts on the schedule and how the season shapes up?
You know, my thoughts on this have changed a lot. One, getting Tunsil, but two, the division, I think it's a little easier, obviously, after Andrew Luck retires. But I think 9 wins is, I mean, the schedule, like you said, is very difficult. Last year they had the easiest schedule in the NFL last year. It's the fourth hardest this year. And they started 0-3. Obviously, they went on that big run. I don't know if they get off to a slow start, and they have a tough beginning of the season. If they get off to a slow start, I don't know that that schedule in the middle of the season really helps them and helps them go on a run. So I have 9 wins, but again, it depends what that defense looks like, right? Because I think they really did take a step back by losing Clowney.
So I think I had them starting like, you know, something like 2-7 through their first 9. Mm-hmm. Is it possible that Bill O'Brien gets let go if that's the case? If they get off to a bad start, if they're 2-7 going into the bye week? Because it's very possible based on the schedule. Any chance he's gone?
But if you'd asked me 6 months ago, I would have said no way. But after the way that Cal McNair moved on from Brian Gaines, I mean, sure, anything's possible. Now, I do think that Cal McNair has gone all in on trusting Bill O'Brien, and I think by firing him, you probably undo a lot of things in the organization, probably more than any other team in the NFL, other than obviously Bill Belichick in New England, just because O'Brien is essentially the general manager right now, so maybe you let him see out the season. But I certainly think if you are talking about like 2 wins, 3 wins, 4 wins this whole season, I think there's a chance that he doesn't make it until next year.
Wow, that's good stuff, Sarah. We appreciate it. Travel safe to New Orleans. We look forward to catching up with you next week when we can talk about Week 1 and what went down in the Superdome. But have a great weekend. Enjoy the game.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
There you go, Sarah Barshop. You can follow her on ESPN.com. She's also the beat writer for your Houston Texans. You might want to follow her on Twitter at Sarah Barshop. Yep. But always a good get. She always got good information for us, and we appreciate her.
Good stuff.
That being said, we got one segment to go on the show. We're going to put a bow on it next and wrap it up and turn it over to the Blitz. Fred, AJ, and Aaron is going to take you right into the weekend right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, I want to remind you, we're wrapping up a Friday in studio, but Monday we're going to be on the road, and that's where you should be too, because both the Blitz and the Usual Suspects are going to be broadcasting live from Twin Peaks in Barry's backyard, Shenandoah. It is big, it is fun, and it is a beautiful place to watch sports, especially since the Texans and Saints are playing Monday Night Football. Stop in, see us, then also hang up, see those beautiful Twin Peaks grills, and get those eats, drinks, and scenic views, 29-degree beers, and spend the afternoon into the evening with us. Maybe stay for the game. It is Monday, September the 9th at Twin Peaks, Shenandoah, 1 to 7 p.m.
I need a little help.
Okay.
I believe that.
No, you got to let me finish, jerk.
It's my job.
So Rico, I'm going to set this up first. Rico sent us a tweet. He said, hearing Barry say scrum diddly umptious on that commercial was way funnier to me than it should have been. And he put the laughing crying face. And I wanted to respond with a happy face. But here's my dilemma. There are so many laughing and happy emojis. I don't know which one means which. Am I the only one that struggles with the correct happy face emoji to use?
I totally struggle with emojis all the time.
There are no less than an entire first row of emojis. So there's like this regular happy face. There's the taller eyed happy face. There's the, I don't know, the eyes are closed happy face. There's one that maybe he looks stoned happy face. Then there's other ones that would be racist if I said what it looked like. And then there's the sweating happy face. There's the crying. There's the rolling cry. I don't know what all this is. I'm old. I just give me two. Give me the crying happy face and a happy face.
I'm with you because I barely, I try not to pay attention to the emojis.
I'm just going
to
start using them all. I replied. There goes eight happy faces. Sorry, Rico. I don't know what the hell, which one to use.
It scares me. Like Lisa's mom gets on the emoji trail and then you get like six of them with each text.
She's like, Joe, eat your vegetables. But she just
happy
says,
birthday.
Eat your
and it's heart, cake, champagne. I'm like, okay, I got it.
Make sure you're eating your vegetables, but it's just an eggplant. And you're like, nope, that's a penis.
Yeah.
Nope.
Don't you gotta learn the emoji behind the emoji.
Yeah. Make sure you eat your fruits and it's a peach and you're like, that means butt. So nope. Don't send those. That's inappropriate, Mom.
Nick's writing that down right now. Yeah. He's like, well, I'm gonna pay a little bit more attention to the emojis now.
I'm gonna admit I'm old because I don't know which emojis to use. Hey, Phil, Pullman Phil has a question.
Okay.
And it's addressed to me, but I feel like you guys and Nick might know this too. Back when I had my toll road issue. He said, hey Barry, really need some info. How did you take care of that tollway situation? Because I owe them over $900. What?
Jeez.
That's a lot, bro.
Is that like actual violations or like late fees and other things?
He doesn't say, but he said, did they give you a discount of some sort? Thanks in advance from Pullman Phil. First of all, bro, get an easy tag.
And that might
you
be the
weirdo.
That might be the approach you might need to take. Say, hey, I have a lot of
God,
violations, but if I get an easy tag, will you remove all this? And they'll just charge you for the regular.
Well, so remember when I did it, I called and the on hold voice message was like, if you go to some website, you can have your fines reduced to like $5.
Right. I remember you saying that.
But apparently when I was bringing that up, people were texting the show saying, oh, that's not all the time. They'll do that where they're like, all right, for 30 days for like the month of July. If you take care of your $900, Phil, you can possibly get it down to $5. I don't know. All I did was just call the toll tag place. That's it. That would be my advice to you is just call and say, look, I owe $900. I'll give you $300. And just try to negotiate. I mean, what are they going to say? No? You ain't paying it anyway.
But do they have the power to say yes?
Oh, I'm sure. Okay. Be like, hey, I'm just curious. Can I get some help with this? Because that's a lot.
Boy, you're a dirty driver if you're $900
in. Phil, bro, maybe take 45.
Yeah, that's maybe, a lot.
Maybe invest in some patience instead of being tagged for 900
Put
bones.
Put some quarters in your damn car and go through the pay booth.
But I never understood people's behavior like that.
He's going
like
through
that.
All right. He just ain't contributing
no,
on
I'm
the
saying
way.
Go through the pay booth where you throw the coins in. Damn.
He's the same guy that has like a buttload of parking tickets from like 2016 that he still hasn't taken care of.
And he's standing. You can see that he's standing at his car on YouTube on how to remove a boot. He's like, I'm going to have to come back to this bitch in the middle of the night with an Allen wrench.
Well, I was tempted. When they put that boot right in front of Toyota Center on my car, I was like, man.
They booted your car?
Yeah.
And?
Like 2 years ago.
What?
Apparently.
Why?
I didn't know where to park for practice. I parked across the street and they had the boot on.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Did you have to pay?
That might have been 2017. It was a lot, dude. It was like $130.
To get the boot
more.
Off?
Yeah, man. It was expensive.
That's crazy.
Ouch.
And they have this key, and they take that boot off, and the new evolved version of a tire boot comes off in like 25 seconds, like maybe less. Like they get in, put a key, like
I bet
unlock,
you could find like, that key online. I like bet you could go to like seconds. Craigslist.
And they have
you really think so?
And they have a mobile credit card device so they can charge you right there in front of your car.
Look, I just Googled universal tire boot key. How to remove a boot from your car. Man, this is easy.
I got past that boot. I ain't trying to
Removing a New York City boot from your car legally. That's on YouTube.
New York City. Well, New York, probably happens a lot more.
Can you imagine? Then you could keep it. Then if someone pisses you off, you can put it on somebody else's car.
Dude, MIT's website has how we beat a boot.
Well, that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, the nerds.
Yeah.
Nerds!
One of my buddies went to MIT. And,
he's a nerd! Yeah.
He tried to cover it up by going to Ohio State for grad school, but bottom line is he went to MIT.
Try to dumb it down a little bit.
Yeah.
At Ohio State.
That's right.
Yeah.
I see that
trick where they put like a fake boot. It's not really a boot.
Should have went to U of H. It'd have worked. Huh?
But it looks like a boot. Oh, see, you're going to give me the cuss
on the air.
Hey,
Nick,
you
put the brakes on mid-sentence. That was nice.
I'm about to swear on air. There's only 2 minutes left on the show.
Got him.
Wow.
No, but did you see that trick you can do where you put like a fake boot?
Really?
In front of the tire, that way they don't mess with you?
They're like, oh, he's already been booted. No, exactly. That's smart.
That is smart.
Yeah, I wonder how much those cost.
Because there's nobody that works for the city that's going to go, I'm going to double boot this one.
But what's crazy is every car or every city has a different kind of boot,
yeah,
so you'd have to get one to match.
Yeah, that's probably going to be tough. And plus, you're going through a lot that's just smart, to get some free parking.
Hey.
In New York, I can see it because once they look at you, it's like $50. $50 is like the low side for parking, I feel like.
Somebody said $900 isn't that bad for the toll rate. You can look up some others. The recent guy had $16,000 in fines.
He's just dumb.
Yeah.
Some people think that they got paper plates or it can't be detected. And other people have been – there's also people out there that are falsely billed and they just keep adding up. And then the city's really slow in terms of trying to rectify that, and that messes with your credit and everything else.
That's crazy.
So there's a lot of issues out there, so you got to kind of pay attention to that. All right, boys, good show.
Happy football weekend.
Yes, no doubt about it. And reminder again, on Monday, we are at Shenandoah, Twin Peaks, so is the Blitz. Stop by and see us from 1 to 7 p.m., and I want to remind you with the first NFL Sunday coming up, Twin Peaks is the place to be for a full slate of Sunday games in the NFL. Every game, every angle, you're not going to miss a single play. You can enhance your game with some of the new shareables like the spicy pork rinds and the savory spinach dip. I've told you this before. I'll tell you again. It's all made from scratch, from the appetizer to the main courses. And we know the beer is 29 degrees. So why would you go anywhere else? If you're going to get out of the house and watch some NFL football, head to one of the 5 locations of Twin Peaks all around the Houston area. You know that Twin Peaks grills are also awesome, and they're absolutely beautiful. And so again, with every subscription, watch Sunday NFL football, Saturday college football, and everything in between. All at one of the 5 Houston area Twin Peaks locations. As we always tell you, it's eats. It's drinks. It's scenic views. Blitz is next. Don't go anywhere. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Menards 11% rebate is here. From lighting to lumber, from doors to floors, the bigger the project, the bigger the rebate. From painting projects to that new kitchen makeover and designing that outdoor space of your dreams, save big on any project you're tackling. Hurry into Menards for an 11% rebate on everything. Mail-in rebate is a merchandise credit check, not a point-of-sale discount. Redeemable on future in-store purchases only. Not on future purchases on Menards.com. See store for details.
Save big.